Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on distorting an Amen-style percussion layer with modern punch and vintage soul. If you've worked with drum and bass before, you already know why the Amen break is such a big deal. It's got swing, grit, ghost notes, and that unmistakable jungle momentum baked right in. So the goal here is not to destroy it. The goal is to reshape it, so it feels current, powerful, and ready for a modern mix, while still keeping the human character that makes the break work in the first place. What we're building is a character layer, not your entire drum bus, and not a replacement for a clean kick and snare pattern. This is the kind of layer that sits under the main drums and gives you extra attitude, extra motion, and a dirty vintage edge that helps the whole drop feel alive. Let's start with the source. Drag your Amen break onto a new MIDI track and open it in Simpler. For this lesson, begin in classic mode so you keep the loop's natural playback feel. If the sample is already at the right tempo, turn warp off and let it breathe naturally. If you need it locked to your project tempo, use warp in beats mode, but keep it subtle and preserve the transients as much as possible. Make sure the loop starts right on the one. That sounds basic, but it matters a lot. If your source is even slightly off, every edit and every distortion decision after that starts to feel less confident. For a modern DNB context, you're usually working somewhere around 172 to 174 BPM, though a slightly slower tempo can work if you want more space and a heavier halftime feel. Now, before we hit the distortion, we shape the raw break. Drop EQ 8 after Simpler. First, clean out the useless low end. High pass somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz just to clear rumble. Then look at the lower mids, because Amen breaks often pile up a little mud around 200 to 350 Hz. A gentle cut there can open the whole loop up fast. Listen carefully to the snare. In an Amen layer, the snare is usually the anchor. If the distortion later turns the snare into a blurry burst of noise, you'll want to come back and protect its bi-end crack. Keep that in mind from the start. The sweet spots to protect are usually around 180 to 250 Hz for the body and 2 to 4K Hz for the snap and identity. If you want a little extra bite, add a small presence boost in that 2 to 4K Hz zone. Just a touch. You're not trying to make it harsh, you're trying to make it speak. Now let's add some pre-shaping before the heavier dirt. A light saturator or drum bus stage here is really useful. Think of it like preparing the break for the bigger treatment later. A small amount of drive, maybe +2 to +6 dB on saturator, or around 5 to 15% drive on drum bus, can warm the signal and help the later distortion react in a more musical way. If the peaks are getting aggressive, turn soft clip on. This is a really important idea in sampling. Drive into compression, not just compression into distortion. If the layer starts to feel flat later, you don't always need more volume. Sometimes you need the saturation and compression to be in the right order, so the hit still feels like a hit. Now we move into the main distortion chain. A strong starting point is saturator into roar, with EQ8 where needed to keep things under control. Saturator gives you that controlled harmonic push. Roar gives you more modern edge and tone shaping flexibility. If you want a little extra old school crunch, you can add redux very lightly, but be careful. Too much bit reduction and downsampling can turn the hats brittle fast. Start modestly. Let the distortion be audible, not destructive. You want mid-range aggression, but you do not want to flatten the groove. The Amen has movement in its ghost notes and offbeats. If the processing wipes out those details, the layer stops feeling like a performance and starts feeling like a noisy loop. This is where a teacher trick really helps. Always listen in short loops, one or two bars at a time. Don't judge the sound only over 8 bars. Short loop /B tests reveal the offbeats, the ghost hits, and whether the snare still reads clearly. That's where the real groove lives. If the distortion is making the whole loop feel too blurry, pull back and use EQ more surgically. Sometimes the best distortion sound in DNB is not the most extreme one. It's the one that keeps the drum identity intact while adding enough attitude to cut through a dense bass arrangement. Now let's talk about parallel processing, because this is one of the most useful moves in DNB. Instead of distorting the whole break equally, duplicate the track or set up a return-style parallel layer. Keep one version cleaner and more controlled. Then make the duplicate version heavier, dirtier, and denser. This lets you blend in the aggression without losing the original transient shape. On the dirty layer, add stronger saturator or roar, maybe some redux if you want a more damaged texture, and then compress it so it feels controlled. A fast attack and medium release is a good starting point. Aim for about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. You want density and glue, not a crushed mess. Then blend that dirty layer underneath the clean one, often quite low in the mix. In many cases, something like 12 to 18 dB lower than the main path is enough. The exact level depends on the arrangement, but the idea is always the same. The clean path gives you punch, and the dirty path gives you weight and character. This parallel approach is especially powerful, because modern drum and bass often lives on that balance between transient clarity and harmonic density. The listener hears a sharp, readable hit, but underneath it there's all this grime and urgency. Next, we restore and refine the attack. Distortion can make cymbals and room tone hang around too long, so a bit of transient control is usually needed afterward. Drum bus is great here. You can push the transient control upward, maybe in the range of plus 10 to plus 30, depending on how aggressive you want it. Keep boom off or very subtle unless the break really needs extra low-end weight, and use crunch carefully. It can sound fantastic in a darker, neural-leaning context, but it gets ugly fast if you overdo it. If you want more groove movement, you can also use the groove pool. A subtle swing template applied to a duplicated percussion layer can bring some human feel back without destabilizing the whole drum foundation. Keep the kick and snare more locked in, and let the ghost notes breathe a little. Usually, a small groove amount, around 10 to 30%, is enough to make a real difference. Now we shape the arrangement movement. Put auto filter after the distortion chain so you can automate the tone over time. This is where the layer really starts to feel like part of a track, not just a loop. You can open the filter gradually during an 8-bar build, pull the top end down in the intro, or use a band pass sweep for a breakdown transition. Even a small resonance bump can create tension if you use it carefully. For darker DNB, a low pass somewhere around 2 to 8 kHz can work really well, especially if you want the break to sit behind the main drums and bass. A little filter drive can help keep it lively even when it's darkened down. Think in terms of contrast. Maybe the intro has a filtered, stripped-back version with just ghost texture. Then the drop opens up into a fuller distorted amen layer under the main drums. Maybe the middle eight gets a brief filter open or a drive bump before the next switch. Those are small moves, but in drum and bass, small moves can create huge energy shifts. Now comes one of the best parts of the whole process, resampling. Once the chain feels good, bounce it by recording the processed result to a new audio track with resampling. Record a bar or two, then consolidate the best take. This turns your complex live chain into something you can really sculpt. Now you can chop it, reverse tiny slices, fade individual hits, place one-shot ghost notes before the snare, or build fills that feel unique to your track. This is where the amen stops being the amen break and starts becoming your custom drum texture. And this is honestly one of the most important sampling habits in Ableton Live for DNB. Resampling gives you control, speed, and freedom to edit in a way that's way more flexible than leaving everything live forever. Now let's make sure the layer fits the mix. Check it in mono with utility. That's essential. If the stereo smear gets messy, narrow it down. Keep the core drum energy centered and stable, especially if the bass line is heavy. The distorted layer should support the kick and snare, not fight them. If the hats get too sharp, use EQ8 after the distortion to tame the high end. If the snare gets harsh around 3 to 6 kHz, notch it carefully. If the low mids crowd the sub or the kick, carve a little more room. In DNB, the drum layer and the low end have to interlock. If they're stepping on each other, the whole drop loses impact. A really practical mix mindset is this. The kick owns its transient moment, the sub stays clean and controlled, and the distorted amen sits just behind the kick attack while still keeping its snare identity. Now think about arrangement roles. This layer should do different jobs depending on the section. In the drop, it can sit under the main drums and add energy for the first 8 or 16 bars. In a fill, it can be chopped down into a 1-bar burst before a section change. In an intro or breakdown, it can become a filtered tension layer that hints at the drop without fully revealing it. That flexibility is one reason this technique is so useful. One sampled break can support multiple parts of the arrangement if you process and automate it properly. Here's a strong way to think about it in a dark roller. Start with a filtered atmosphere and sparse drums. Bring in the distorted amen quietly under a clean kit on the drop. Let it open up over the first 8 bars as the bass settles. Then on a switch up, mute the cleaner support for a bar and let the distorted layer take over with a crash and sub hit. That creates a huge sense of lift without needing a completely new drum pattern. A few common mistakes to watch out for. The first is over distorting the whole break. That can flatten the groove instantly. Use parallel processing or lower the drive if that happens. The second is losing the snare crack. If the snare turns into a burst of white noise, back off the upper distortion and bring the crack back with EQ. The third is too much high-end fizz. That's usually fixed with a low pass or a careful EQ after the distortion stages. The fourth is ignoring mono compatibility. Always check it. And the fifth is not resampling. If you don't bounce the result, you're missing the chance to really edit the groove into something personal. If you want to push this further, there are a few advanced variations worth trying. You can split the break into frequency lanes. Keep one copy low pass for body and snare weight, and another high pass for hat grit and air. Then distort each one differently. That can give you a more controlled and expensive sounding result.